Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about something, my goodness, just 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, you wouldn't have heard discussed very much. And what is that topic? Well, intuitive children. And my guest today, Catherine Crawford, we're going to be talking about the child that is naturally highly intuitive. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I have to tell you, I have a little bias regarding this subject because I really feel that every child has naturally high intuitive capacities. And it's so nice to be able to see open conversation about this because I can't tell you how many people through the years I've talked to as a counselor who have had phenomenal experiences and then they stuffed them away within themselves. And as adults, it was a long time before they felt like they were safe enough to even discuss it with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is a marvelous topic to talk about. Now, you decided you wanted to do this, but you as an individual, give us a little bit of your background. What is it that made you decide that you wanted to talk about children?
Well, I see such a need for it out there. And like you, I've seen so many adults who had to tuck their experiences away until they felt that it was safe to bring them out. And I've worked with these individuals in my private practice for years and years. And it just got to the point where I thought, enough. You know, we can't do this to another generation of children. It's just time for us to be having more open conversations and to let people know that it's really natural and that we can drop the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider myself an intuitive empath. I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm an extraordinary intuitive. I'm just your person who trusts it, has it flowed up for me, it guides my life, I believe in it, and I believe in supporting it in other people. And I had many experiences as a kid. I tucked many of them away myself, so I know that territory. And but, you know, one of the great things, I think, is that it never goes away. I really don't think we can kill off this ability. Sometimes it's many years before we realize that we can really harness its full power. But the good news is it doesn't go away. And we all have intuition and empathy. But the children that I've focused on in this book are those ones who are born with it just higher on the spectrum and many times will need extra support because at times they feel stress based on the high level of input they're receiving on their intuitive receptors and also in their body through their empathy.
Well, children, I think, really, if they are totally comfortable, they know that they can say whatever they want to say, and then you just go, oh, well, that's very nice. Mm-hmm. I recall a client of mine who, and my goodness, I was in my 20s at the time, and she was talking to me, and I thought, who in the world is she deciding to talk to here? Because she's in her 70s. I'm in my 20s. What do I know? You know, this lady's been around the block a lot more than I have in life. And she talked about how when she was a little girl, when she was 3-4 years of age, there was an aunt that had come over to visit the family. And when the auntie was getting ready to leave and was giving her a kiss, so she turned around to her mother and she said, Auntie's not going to be around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Auntie's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she remembers the experience so vividly because whenever, and this is her entire life, whenever she had this beautiful fragrance of flowers,
mm-hmm.
she said she would just see these beautiful flowers around a person. It was the sign that they were going to be passing on. They were going to be dying.
Oh, wow.
Well, in her young mind at the age of 3 or 4, this was something beautiful. This wasn't something ugly.
Yeah.
And she turns to her mother and tells her, and her mother just screams at her and slaps her and tells her, don't you ever say anything like this,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't understand what was so bad about it. So
mm-hmm.
here is a child, because the mother is fearful, and because this apparently was a gift that was in the family, and she was a very, very receptive personality. She came into this world for the purpose of using this, and sadly, in her 70s, she couldn't figure out what the purpose of it was.
Oh.
So she's talking to me, and I'm in my early 20s, and I'm going, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that this woman, that wasn't her only experience. She had a number of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you don't ever, ever say that again.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, her aunt was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything violent or ugly. She passed in her sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So here is this child that has had this experience and at the age of 3 or 4 is smashed down,
mm-hmm.
literally.
Yeah, yeah.
And is told this is bad, this is evil, and she doesn't understand because the experience is a beautiful experience.
Yes.
It is giving information, and yet because of the fear of the adults,
yes,
it demeans it. So
yes.
Your book is really a book for parents.
Mm-hmm.
Really a book for parents in my observation as I was going through it. So you're educating the parents so that they can understand the kids. Now, this doesn't mean that they go around with halos on their head. Trust me, the kids are still the kids.
Exactly.
They're going to still get in trouble. They're going to still,
of course,
you know, all of this stuff. But
yes,
you're trying to educate, and I think that this is very, very important.
I think so, too, because it's essential so that people like your client, who at the age of 70 isn't bringing her story out finally, and thank goodness that she could bring out her story with you. That's wonderful. But she lived all those years, unfortunately, with probably a derailed sense of her own self-trust, her connection to her own inner truth, and that communication that would just come through so innocently. And I've seen this in so many kids. And I think that, you know, perhaps there's many thoughts that I have about this. One is that I think parents fear it. And in that family in particular, there was probably an intergenerational pattern,
mm-hmm.
of fearing those kind of truths coming out. We don't talk about that. Well, how fascinating, because this was probably a genetic gift that was passed down. I do see this happening in many families. Grandma,
oh, yes,
had it, and I know my grandmother did.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, on her deathbed, she said, it's safe to use the gift now. And right before, that was one of the last things she ever said right before she died.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so this the stressors can be passed down, and the don't talk rules can get passed down. And it just doesn't need to be that way. So my hope is that as parents realize that their child isn't crazy and they're not going to get in trouble for sharing these truths, then they can enter into some really beautiful, nuanced conversations with their kids. You know, when we can have the response of, oh, tell me more about that, and we don't inflate our response or we don't deflate it, as
mm-hmm.
in the case of that 70-year-old woman, then we can have a conversation with the child about, you know, for that 3-year-old, she didn't need any conversation. She was just relaying information.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child is picking up on, for example, maybe they're having an intuition about an earthquake coming or something disturbing that they need help with, then they're going to need a parent who they can really talk about it with. And you know, maybe they need some help with drawing out the feelings. Or, I mean, literally drawing it out and using some art.
Oh, I love that suggestion. I've told that to so many people. That's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah. I've used it with so many kids because as an art therapist, I'm a big believer in giving children a lot of space to express themselves, and they have such an innate wisdom to them. And when we can give them the space, the materials, the clay, the paint, the oil pastels, the paper, a little bit of quiet, it is amazing what they can create from inside of themselves and the feelings that they can work through so simply. They don't need a lot of words quite frequently to be able to work through their issues. Sometimes they really do. Sometimes they really need the skills. But there's a lot that they can do on their own, too.
I agree. Now, I do want my audience to know that you're a licensed marriage and family therapist and also, as you just mentioned, a registered art therapist. And you especially like to deal with people that are having issues with children that are very intuitive, that you might say are sort of out of the box, that they just don't know what to do with. And sometimes there is that child that's born into a family who doesn't have an understanding of this, obviously like the 70-year-old woman that
right.
I was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And even though it may have been in the family, there is that level of ignorance. And I've always said the three greatest enemies are ignorance, fear, and superstition. And they all feed on each other. They all support what creates what I call the boogeyman effect. And all you need to do is have some understanding, and then all of a sudden the boogeyman just evaporates.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I really like a quote that you have in here, and it's by Jonas Salk. It's always with excitement that I wake up in the morning wondering what my intuition will toss up to me. Like gifts from the sea, I work with it and rely on it. It's my partner. Now, for Jonas Salk to make a statement like that in his era, which I believe was in the 50s and 60s, I mean, this is something that at that time, I wonder if anybody really heard it.
I know. I wonder. I wonder if they really got it, because intuition's nothing new. But I think one of the reasons why I put a quote from Jonas Salk and Einstein in is I just love the I love to share with people that we've got lots of scientists out there using intuition too. This is not such woo-woo stuff. It, when people are making these kind of intuitive leaps out to scientific discoveries, as Einstein did, or perhaps that's how Jonas Salk came up with his discoveries too, and then they work it back utilizing their logical mind. Boy, we've got such a beautiful and important use of intuition in life. And I do want to honor that, you know, for the parents that have especially intuitive children and they feel that they don't share a gift in equal measure, or maybe they just think that they just have no idea how to work with that side of their child. It can be quite challenging for the more linear-minded parent, and I tried to keep them in mind as I wrote because I thought they might be the ones that could especially be helped by having kind of a roadmap of this is what's going on for your child, and they're not being a drama queen, and they're not being overly imaginative. I think that parents who are very comfortable in the linear five sensory world might mistake some intuitions for sheer imagination. And if we don't know how to tease out what's an intuition from imagination, then we might miss being able to support a child in their intuition.
I love the story of the two-year-old that you have in here. Two-year-olds are just as precocious as they can be.
I know.
And this one is a little girl named Amy. Not the Amy was the mother, excuse me. Deanna was the name of the child. And she was taking her to a playground, and her daughter, two-year-old, says, "Watch out for the chicken."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the last thing you'd expect to hear out of a two-year-old's mouth. And, of course, mom is saying, "What chicken, Deanna?" So she just thinks her kid has a very, very overactive imagination. Mm-hmm. But then she turns around and finds that there are four chickens pecking on a neighborhood, another neighbor's driveway that hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
And her two-year-old just knew that these little chickens were going to be there. So she had, in my language that I'd use, she was a remote viewer.
Exactly, because that mom had the child had no way of being able to see even a feather in that forest to be able to see chickens coming up. So it was straight intuition that was coming. And it was also a great example of intuition coming up for safety, because the mom, had she been driving really fast, she might have hit the chickens. And that, I think, is one of the beauties of intuition, is that it can keep us safe, even for a two-year-old.
Oh, I just love that. And what I find so fascinating, especially being the author of a children's book and having done storytelling with children, the children today that I have been experiencing, anyway, have been so articulate at the ages of two and three. In fact, it still surprises me when I'm having a conversation. I say, "Oh, how old are you?" And many of them, they just, so I'm 3 years old, and I'm going, "Oh, they'll think of what they're going to be." And, they're 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I mean, we have these kids that, because of the environment that they're in and information, they're absorbing so much. They are just, it's just amazing. Christina, at the age 5, your story in here about her and her cat, and she always knew when the cat was hungry.
Yes.
She always knew, and you ask her, gee, how do you know? And she says, well, there's a little tickle inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a child who's very much aware of her body,
mm-hmm.
very much aware of her body responses, and adults need to be aware of this. I mean, how many times do we say, trust your gut?
Right.
Well, now the child expressed it as a tickle.
That's right.
And yeah, adult says, well, it's something in my gut. What's
yeah.
the difference? It's semantic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when your child tells you that, it's like a little pink flag should go up and say, ooh, we got something going on here. The child's articulating something in her own way.
Yes, that's her vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to have that supported because that's something that she can come back to through her life. Perhaps that's her inner yes. That when she tries to make a decision about which college to go to or later which guy to pick or, you know, house to buy, maybe she's going to get that same little tickle in her stomach, and that's going to be her own personal radar system.
Mm-hmm.
A fabulous thing to have.
Boy, a five-year-old asking you questions like Christina asked, can you tell me where your spirit was before you were here? Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to fall back into your spirit of death? And then she said that she, or you say that she asked her young three-year-old cousin not to lose the tricycle she passed along to her because she'll be needing it in her next lifetime. I mean, this is, you mean, when you're having conversations like this and you're being asked questions mm-hmm. like this by a child,
mm-hmm.
you already know you better pay attention because this is not going to be your average Dick Walks Jane Down the Street kid.
I know. It's so beyond Sesame Street.
It really is.
Although they love Sesame Street, too. But, you know, this is the thing, that parents often find that they're just in a new territory with the kids. And granted, you know, when a child says something as precocious as, don't lose the tricycle, I want it in my next lifetime, you know, it's natural to want to either laugh or have your jaw drop or, you know, have some kind of response to it. But I think for parents who become accustomed to having their child have these wise statements or these statements that will indicate that their child is having an experience that's bigger than just this three dimensions. They're thinking about death. They're wondering about where they came from. Where did their spirit come from? Where did grandma's spirit go after she died? All those things. They start to get accustomed, hopefully, to that part of the nature of their child. And then they could just roll with it. They can just know that's quite natural. And you just, you know, you have conversations like that with your child.
One of the things that was brought to my attention many, many years ago is that when you have a youngster, children have extremely vivid imagination.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what should be.
Yes.
When they're giving you the stories, it's important not to overreact, not
yes.
to make it more than what it is. Just
mm-hmm.
say, well, tell me exactly what happened,
mm-hmm.
and maybe keep a notebook on what they have said or little comments that they make, and just say, well, that's really very interesting, and then you'll find they'll go about their business. But if you exaggerate it or try to make it into something
mm-hmm.
bigger,
mm-hmm.
then you're setting up a precedent with a child for fabrication, which is not what the not what you want to cultivate. You want mm-hmm. them to be able to be what I'd call a clear receiver.
Yes, and authentic.
Yes, authentic. Mm-hmm. I like that word even better. Now, one of the comments you bring out, and I know a lot of adults that don't know how to do this, it's how to quiet their responses. I'm quoting from your book.
Mm-hmm.
The people in environment stimuli by learning how to regulate the volume
mm-hmm.
of the sensory input and not to be overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because so often, and, you know, I'll just back up a little bit. It was the adult clients that I started to cultivate that skill with, the ones that were coming to me
mm-hmm.
and feeling overwhelmed by the amount of input they would have, and I just saw it causing too much stress. So I started teaching these skills to the adults and to the teens that I work with and to the kids. And honestly, the kids are so easy to teach the skill to. Many of them just get it immediately. So, for example, let's work with the intuitive antenna. And it's hard for me to keep up with all of our latest technology, so I realize antenna's already an outdated technology metaphor, but we'll just roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
So imagining that there's this antenna that's out there, and I'll have kids even draw their antenna Sometimes I have to show them what an antenna looks like. And then I say, let's put all the things in your antenna that you might be picking up on. Do you, for example, a child who's auditorily intuitive, they hear things, they might be hearing on that sixth sensory level conversations even between friends, or perhaps they're picking up on the stomach ache of their friend across the classroom, or they just have a sense that something's not right for them. Or maybe they're tuning into a parent's conflict, even when parents were discreet. So we put all those things on that antenna, and then I have them just visualize. Let's let all that go. Let's imagine that antenna is just shrinking down, and I have them take a few deep breaths as well, so they can just imagine they're just pulling their awareness back into themselves. And what this does is it gives them the permission to be able to turn this ability off and to regulate it. Because their biology is built for it just being on, we forget that we actually need to learn how to turn it off. And that is so valuable for kids, because then they realize if it feels overwhelming, they can quiet themselves, and they have a way of being able to gain mastery. This can be simple at times, and it could be a life's work, too, just mm-hmm. learning how to do that in a variety of different situations. I know I'm still a work in progress myself.
Oh, we always are.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever get there.
Yeah.
Because you get to one level, and then there's that openness and expansiveness, and then you realize that it's time to grow into something else. So that's the joy
yes.
of being involved with this, I believe, is the evolution of growth and development, no matter what your age. And if you're fortunate enough to have a parent or an environment that is supportive of this when you're little,
yes.
then you're going to be at ease. And in today's world, we have so much more open communication about it. And for all the falderal and the woo-woo stuff that's out there, you have so much good, solid,
yeah.
And now that science is coming out, it's really good. You mentioned a particular kind of test, that the Myers-Briggs typology test.
Yes.
Talk about that for a moment.
Sure. Well, the Myers-Briggs test has been around for quite some time. It's a typology test that helps to determine personality factors. For example, is an individual an introvert or an extrovert? Is their thinking style a linear thinking or an intuitive thinking style, or an intuitive style? Are you a feeler or a thinker? So this is a test that is able to actually tease out for those intuitive and feeler components as well. And that's something that's very similar to what I talk about in my work. But I've also added, I've kind of gone beyond this very useful Jungian typology test that's used widely in business and psychology, and I added on the energetics that go with intuition and being, you know, super intuitive and super feeling. I see a lot of crossover, but there's some additional factors, too.
You have some good information here about various cultures. One of the points of information is about the Ojibways
mm-hmm.
and the Indian tribe, and how in their environment, children and the young people were encouraged to listen to the stories of the elders,
mm-hmm.
but also that they were to pay attention
yeah.
to the dreams, the feelings, the observations. And some people might say, well, they had a lot of superstition. But these were people that understood that if you took time to listen, mm-hmm. a tree could speak to you, mm-hmm. a bird. It can come in many, many different ways. But mm-hmm. there is that communication, that universal language, that if you're open and receptive to it, you as a sender and a receiver are able to utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cultivated among them and among many other people that really were very, very close to nature. And I think it's something that, again, in your book, you have so many different points of information that I think are very, very valuable. And one of the stories I really liked was about Mariella
mm-hmm.
and the grandmother's death. Mm-hmm. I think in our Western culture, we have made the idea of death something so ugly and so bad that we say, well, we don't want children exposed to it. Well, give me a break. They used to have the funerals in your living room.
Yes.
You know, they'd have the body laid out, and it wasn't so intimidating. But today, everything's hidden and sterilized. It's sort of like buying chicken at the supermarket.
Yes.
Well, you don't see what goes on. The chicken's head's being cut off and the feathers, you know, being deplucked and all this stuff. People have become so detached from so many things, they don't want death to be seen by kids. And I think that this is a mistake. This is my bias.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariella's story, I think, is just wonderful. And would you like to share that quickly with my audience?
Oh, sure, yes. Yeah. So we've got a couple things happening in this story. And one is that Mariella's family was really open to her intuition as well as her being allowed to participate in going to her grandmother's bedside as she was dying and being right there. This is a little girl who intuited that something was wrong with her grandmother, and unlike the 70-year-old that we talked about earlier, she was met with love with hearing about this. The little girl had had some intuitive hits that something was wrong with Grandma before the mom even learned that that her mom was ill. And this little girl was permitted to be at the bedside. She did a lot of art as her grandma was dying, and it was very healing, very nurturing for her to be there, and really wonderful for the grandma who was dying to have her granddaughter right there making art for her, you know, just like little spirit pictures as she died.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite quite healing for the entire family.
See, and I think that when you can do that, any family that I've known that has done that, the transition of that person that is leaving this experience, it's a lot easier for them, and it is easier for those present. And I'm not saying that you don't have grief. Grief, usually, we're grieving for ourselves. We're grieving because that person that filled a space in our life, it's vacant now. And the adage, no one can ever really take your place, is very true when you have those special people in your life, but yet you can hold them in your heart, have good memories, but there's that adjustment. But here's this child at the age of four who really, in her own way, was a great teacher for the rest of the family.
Wasn't she?
I
know.
A great teacher.
Yes, yes. And it's she brought such presence to that whole experience. And I think, you know, there's so many ways in which we push back away from death. We repel from it. It's difficult to be with. But here was this child, art supplies in hand, just being there with the experience, right there on the ground, next to Grandma's bed, in the hospital room, making that art, very present with her art, present with her grandmother's body, her spirit that would soon be leaving. And she was tuning into that whole spirit place with her grandma.
Yes, and it's just wonderful. You have so many good stories about children, and it's something. See, I think we underestimate kids.
I do too.
I really think we underestimate them. We don't respect them and understand that they realize that they are here. And childhood is preparation for adulthood. So when you can approach it from that level and realize that everything you can do in the way of supporting them and helping them to understand the intuitive process is normal and natural is going to empower them as adults. It's
exactly.
Absolutely marvelous. Well, Catherine, my goodness, the time has just gone by so quickly. Your book, The Highly Intuitive Child, is, I know, on Amazon, but your website is lifepassage.com. So if you'd like to have more information about Catherine's work, what she does, want to learn more about her wonderful book regarding children, go to her website, lifepassage.com, and you'll find everything that you need there. Catherine Crawford, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, we've got to take a break. We've got more good things to share with you. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. and all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTab Health Shoes. These funky looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill, you'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, this is all you need to dial into are 2 toll-free numbers. Choose either one of them. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888-815-9756. Now, that's our worldwide number, 888-815-9756. U.S. worldwide, doesn't make any difference. And remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me tell you what I perceive for you, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that is of concern to you. Remember, I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to be able to share that with you on air. And I'll be telling you about my class. You're going to be hearing about it up until the 25th of April. But let's go to our caller first, show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. First name or initial, please, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is me, and I'm from Florida.
All right, dear, I can barely hear you. So you'll need to speak up, and I don't know if you have to turn the computer down in the background. Okay, can you talk again? Let me see if I can hear you.
Okay, this is Cindy. Can you hear me now?
Oh, Cindy, I can hear you beautifully now. And where are you calling from?
Florida.
Where in Florida, dear?
Central Florida. Right now I'm in Tallahassee.
In Tallahassee.
I'm actually from Central Florida, yes.
All right. Well, I'm sure the sun is shining.
Actually, it's been raining all day.
Really? We've had rain and snow here in the Pacific Northwest, but that's what we usually get this time of the year. And it's gray and depressing. But every once in a while, I think we're going to have a tantrum and do a sun dance to make sure that the sun comes out, because we sometimes wonder this time of the year if it really exists here in the Pacific Northwest.
We just had a front move through with some pretty strong storms today.
Well, Cindy, let's get down to business with you, dear. First thing right off the bat, money is an issue, but I want you to use it in a different manner than what you have. I want you to look at money like bricks. I want you to look at your money as something that is going to enable you to build what you want to build. And I don't want you to come from a positioning of fear. I want you to learn that money is merely a medium of exchange. It's a form of barter. And what you're going to want to do is to hone your money skills, your bartering skills, so that you are going to be able to get, as the old saying is, more bang for the buck. Now, you are in a positioning at this time where you may feel like you're being shackled financially. You're just going to have to be a little bit more creative when it comes to the money issue, and you're going to be able to weather the storms of discomfort that are definitely swinging your way. These are temporary, but they are a challenge to you so that you can move out of a particular patterning of what I would describe as a comfort zone, which in reality has not been all that comfortable, but it is a zone that you're very familiar with. So you have opted to stay in it. Now it's time to move out of it. For you to be able to go into the change that is required, it is going to be necessary for you to think a little differently than you have. And it means that you perhaps will have to take action that you hadn't desired to take. But in doing it, understand, it's just a process. Also, I'm seeing you needing to cultivate some new associations with people. And this is something you have sort of shied away from, but I don't want you to. I want you to think about perhaps becoming a part of an organization or having an affiliation with certain groups, maybe doing some volunteer work, something that enables you to get out and start some networking that's going to serve you well. If you do this, you're going to find in 6 to 8 months, your financial positioning is going to be much healthier than it is at this time. But you've got two and a half years of a lot of diligence, application of effort, organization, and planning when it comes to money that are going to be very, very necessary to do. There's no shortcuts here. There's no magic bullet. It takes effort, application, and earnest effort. And you're a hard worker, but it's working differently. It's thinking differently. So don't be afraid to ask other people for ideas, for their help. What would they do if they were in your circumstance? And take what you get and say, is this something I can use or something I won't use? And if somebody tells you, well, I just throw up my hands and I'd move to the middle of Alaska, I'd say, this isn't an answer. You're just responding. So you need to be aware. You need to think through, and you need to keep your emotions in a positioning where you sit on them. And you don't respond emotionally. That will enable you to shift into the changes necessary. What question do you have for me today?
Wow. Okay. The question I have is about a legal situation. There's a foreclosure sale on my property. It was an illegal foreclosure. It's been a little problem a long way.
All right. Now, Cindy, I'm going to have to stop you, hon. You're probably on a cell phone.
Pardon me?
Are you on a cell phone?
I am, because I'm actually at the hospital with my boyfriend who had open heart surgery this week.
Okay, hon. I just want you to realize that your cell phone is cutting out, so I'm going to have to ask you to repeat what your question is.
Okay, I had a question about the outcome of the legal issue. I just filed some new motions and filed an appeal today with the court on a foreclosure hearing. And a stay of foreclosure pending the appeal. Will that be granted? There was a lot of illegal stuff, and the whole thing was done. Actually, it was totally illegal.
Well, I do think that there's a good chance here. The challenge that you've got is that you must approach this in a business-like way. Keep your emotions in check. Have your facts in place. No assumptions. Have all of your facts in place. I think your appeal will be heard. But you must back it up with actual facts.
Okay, that's what I've been saying.
Assume nothing. So
okay.
You have to pretend in your mind the worst case scenario that you end up in front of an illiterate judge and you have to educate them. Now, I know a judge wouldn't appreciate that statement, but I'm saying it for the purpose of you getting a picture.
Okay.
So you need to be prepared. You don't need to be antagonistic. You don't need to be angry. You need to be prepared, and you're not playing a game with anybody, and you're going in to defend your positioning. But you do it with clarity.
Okay.
And you have an excellent chance with the appeal.
Okay, now pending the appeal, will they grant the motion to stay the sale pending the appeal?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But you must be prepared. Do you have an attorney that's going to represent you?
No, I don't. That's the problem. I've been having to represent myself. I had an attorney, and he's the one that originally screwed me on the case because I think he went on the payroll of the other attorney, and they just filed a joint motion without my knowledge to dismiss all my defenses.
All right. So
I ended up terminating him.
All right. So that's good. But you must back up everything you do with specifics and have it all typed out. Have everything prepared. You have multiple copies,
mm-hmm.
and you go down to it line by line, and you stand your ground and make
okay.
sure that everything that needs to be notarized is notarized for the court.
Okay.
And you must do it this way, because if you don't, you're going to be slam dunked.
Okay.
Because they do not expect this from you. Pretend you are an attorney. You've seen enough television shows.
Mm-hmm.
So dress attractively when you go in and rehearse it in front of a mirror. Pretend you're standing in front of that judge and you're presenting the information. And if there's anyone that you know that is of legal background that you can get some coaching from, that you can spend some time with, have them as your mentor, and have them coach you before you even go in.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Cindy, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, Donna. I really appreciate it. You're awesome.
Thank you, dear. That's a very nice compliment. I appreciate that. You
thank
take
you
care now, and be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I absolutely will. Thank you.
You're welcome, Cindy. This is Donna Seabow. Hey, you're going to be able to call in and chat with me, too, if you so desire. 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call into. Also worldwide, including the U.S., we have the telephone number of 888-815-9756. I've got a recipe to share with you if we have the time. Otherwise, and some other good things, I've gotten some wonderful material. So as time permits, I'd rather talk to you, though, if you want to give me a buzz. Give me a buzz again at 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Seabow is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you who are in the Pacific Northwest, I am going to be giving a class, this is an all-day class, on Saturday, the 25th of April. Now, this class is called Mind Vision. What is this class all about? Well, it is meant to power up your inner giant. And I think that this is so important that we be able to reach deep down within ourselves and pull up and out that which means the most to us. It's what I call your inner genius. And be empowered so that you can shift into the changes that you want and create what you really desire to have in your life. And I know we've got so much stuff going on. If you watch it on television, I was watching stuff last night. It's downright depressing. And I thought, I got to get out of this. My goodness. If I buy into everything that's being said, I'm going to feel like I'm a prisoner of life instead of being an active participant in it, and it can be downright disabling. I don't believe in that. I've been there, done that in my life experience. Mm-mm. Don't want to go there. So that's what this class is all about. Now, this is a very interactive seminar. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning on April the 25th. It will be finished at 4. We are going to have a catered lunch. The price of the seminar is $95, and all you need to do for reservations is to call into 253-383-3151. That's 253-383-3151, and I'm really looking forward to this. I did a class last year, and I so enjoyed the wonderful interaction with the students. This class is going to be held at the Center for Spiritual Living at 206 North J Street in downtown Tacoma. It's right across the street from Children's Hospital. And part of the proceeds will be going towards this historical building. This building was built, I believe, in 1900. So it is really a delight to be able to do this. Hey, if you want to give the reservation number a call, set it up so that you can be a participant in this class. Mention that you heard about it on the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll get a $10 discount. And again, the price for the seminar is $95, and of course, that $10 discount will bring it to $85. But this is a wonderful way to meet new people. It is a wonderful way. It's a gift to you. Give it to yourself, because it'll make a difference in your life. Donna Sebo here, 877-876-5227 and 888-815-9756. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about one of the most famous cellists in the world. His name is Janos Starker. Now, the gentleman is in his 80s at this time. Joyce Geeding is going to be my guest. This world-renowned cellist herself, she was his protege, she has been given permission to write his story, and it is an awesome story. It's a man who has had challenges in his life that have been just absolutely phenomenal, and he is called the father of cellists in today's musical world. So this is what we're going to be listening to tomorrow. Also, we're going to be talking about relationships on Fridays. Have you had one of those situations where you just feel like your life has gone into the pits? Oh, yuck. Never fun. Also, I've had those experiences. Hey, Michelle Majors is going to be my guest. She was one of the speakers at the Women's Show with me, and I just enjoyed her so much. From breakup to wake up. Hey, there is actually light at the end of the tunnel, gals and guys. If you have been in a miserable situation, don't give up. That Mr. Wonderful or Ms. Wonderful is out there. So that's the lineup for the rest of the week, and I hope you'll tell your friends and join us, because there's just a lot of good things to share. My goodness, Easter is just around the corner, it seems like. How do these days go by so fast? But they are, and I'm seeing bunnies everywhere. Well, Easter is one of the biggest holidays in the year, and so many of you are going to be entertaining. You're going to be having families over. I was talking to someone just a few minutes ago that's in the studio, and they're going to be having a big thing going on at their home. Well, it's just absolutely so much fun. But lots of times people have traditions. And I came across this information by a woman by the name of Megan Cherkizian. She's Armenian. And I have a very special spot in my heart for the Armenian people because I had a very unique association with a number of Armenians many years ago. And they just taught me so much about so many wonderful aspects of their culture and their people's history. And Megan shared in this story about how at Easter her family gets together and the women just do all kinds of stuff. Now, for their Easter, it's like shish kebab and rice pilaf, and they have cheese-filled dough triangles and, you know, stuffed grape leaves. Oh, such good stuff. I just absolutely love it. Very sort of Middle Eastern, Mediterranean-style food. It's just absolutely delicious. And, of course, the men and women that love to cook just have a blast. They're in the kitchen. They're talking 10,000 miles an hour. It's just great. But she shares something called choring. And this is a bread, and it's flavored with anise and fennel. And it's something that is so delicious. And many times you'll see it in bakeries, and those bakeries that have, you know, special bread specialties. Then they will have this, and often, traditionally, it's baked with an egg in the middle of it. So this is typical of the Easter tradition. But here is the recipe. You need 2 packages of dry yeast, 2 packages of dry yeast, a cup and a quarter of lukewarm water, and you need about a quarter of a cup taken out of that and kept separate. And you want to keep it warm, so nuking it in the microwave for about 10 seconds will help if it cools down too much. You're going to need 4 teaspoons of sugar, and then you need 8 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of salt, 1 teaspoon each of ground fennel, anise, and, a teaspoon of ground fennel and 1 teaspoon of ground anise, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 2 cups of butter, and you want this melted, you want 1 cup of milk, and you want 4 eggs, and all ingredients should be at room temperature. This is how simple it is. You dissolve your yeast in 1/4 cup of the lukewarm water. You add 1 teaspoon of the sugar, and you just mix it and set aside. And that's going to make the yeast just really come alive. It feeds on the sugar. And then you put all your dry ingredients in a very large bowl. You stir them all together. This takes you a second or two. And then you make a well in the center of the mixture. Put your melted butter in a saucepan, melt your butter in a saucepan. You can also do it in a microwave. And then add your milk to your butter and heat to lukewarm. You beat 3 eggs and pour into the well with the other liquids and the yeast mixture, and you blend the flour with the liquids. Now, you're going to want to knead this. If you have a dough hook, if you have one of those mixers that's got a nice big bowl on it, this can work very, very well. But you want to knead with a bread hook, which is my favorite way of doing anything like this, until the dough pulls away from the bowl and from your hands. And then you want to knead it with your hands. There's a magic that goes from the hands into the dough. And then you cover your dough with wax paper, set it aside until it doubles. It's going to take maybe about 3 hours. Then you preheat your oven to about 400 degrees Fahrenheit, turn the dough onto a floured surface, and you cut 1 palm-sized piece at a time. Roll with your hands until a strip about 6 inches long, and cut 1/3 of that strip and press 1 into the middle of the remaining 2/3 to form a tea braid dough from the tea. And then you place the braided pieces on a baking pan 1 inch apart. Brush the top of each with egg mixed with milk. Bake for about 20 minutes, and it makes about 40 to 50 churigs. It's just really good. And also, you can always check this out on the Internet, too, to find out about different recipes. My goodness, we are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Trust your intuition. Trust your own essence. You've got it for a reason. It's a gift. Enjoy the gift. Use it and light up your life with understanding that it's there to serve you and be there regardless of what the circumstances might be so that you can get through whatever you're getting through. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we'll be talking music. See you right here, same time on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
This is Pete Seeger, and you're listening to BBS Radio.